This podcast brought to you by Hope 1032.
On Hope 1032, joining us, the CEO of World Vision, Daniel Wordsworth. Thank you so much for your time.
It's my pleasure, Laura.
You've just spent some time on the ground in Ukraine. Can you tell us what work World Vision have been doing there?
We're trying to respond to, two types of things. There's a massive outflow of people leaving Ukraine, and that's really just a fancy way of saying there are literally millions of people inside Ukraine who are stuck and caught in the conflict. Dads have to go and fight at the war, actually, and so mums and their kids are fleeing for the borders. And so part of what we're doing is we're on the border in Romania. We have a team now in Moldova, Georgia. We're trying to react to that and respond to that. You have tens of thousands of people crossing borders every day. They've only got what they're often only what they're wearing or perhaps one small bag they're carrying. Mm. So you've got to make sure they've got shelter, they've got their basic needs met. Can we begin addressing psychological issues? And the other thing that we have to do is get into Ukraine. I mean, there's a huge humanitarian crisis in there, and I was just in there resupplying a hospital. There's just so many things we need to do.
Right. So is the help that you're offering getting those practical supplies like food, basic family care products and those sorts of things to people? Or is it in the sense that you're setting up perhaps counselling centres or making counselling available to people?
It's both of those things. Mm. We actually do deliver things to people. So I was in vehicles just the other day. We went into Ukraine. We'd heard about a hospital that had been taking in refugees that were fleeing toward the border. There were 500 refugees gathered around the hospital in the little town it was in, and they needed emergency food supplies. They needed mattresses, blankets, sheets. They also need medicines. Mm. And so we managed to, you know, fill up trucks, take them in and supply them with food. And so, you know, very practical, very concrete, very rapid assistance. But also we have a network of 45 psychologists that speak Ukrainian, and so we kind of rotate those through too. So we don't have a counseling center so much. Mm. We have ways that we interact with the refugees, and whilst we're interacting with them, we connect them to these people.
Mm. And you mentioned how a lot of the men have had to stay in Ukraine and their wives, their children are trying to find safe places elsewhere. How are the men feeling about the fact that they do have to remain in Ukraine?
Well, actually, yes, it's a law. No man aged 18 to 60 can leave the country right now. And so it's you know, Ukrainian law. I didn't actually get to speak to any men because they're I'm working with refugees. Mm. I do know that I spoke with Christina, who had a daughter there. She's an 8-year-old girl, Daniela. She told me that when they got up, the morning they got up to flee, her husband, they walked out the door, kissed each other goodbye. The husband went east to fight. She, with her child, came west to try to escape the violence. Mm. But I will say this, in answer to your question, Laura, she said she wanted to go with him and fight, but they realized their daughter was the priority. So I think, of course, they don't want any of this. But in light of what's happened, I think they want to stay and fight.
Yeah. So when you were in Ukraine, can you describe what you're seeing there when you arrive on the ground, when you first kind of get into some of these areas where conflict has been and how the civilians have been impacted by that conflict?
Thankfully, the conflict has not moved close enough to the border region yet. So what really stands out when you cross over the border is you're driving for maybe 5 minutes and you haven't, you know, driven past the traffic jam that's waiting at the border. Mm. So there are thousands of vehicles, thousands of people, massive lines that, you know, people are waiting. I don't even know the length of time, you know, a day or 2 days, you know, at the border trying to get across. So that really jumps out at you. And then when you go into the hospital and you meet the refugees, you know, the parents are trying to put on a strong face for their children, but, you know, they're in shock. This happened, this is only 12 days long, yeah? You're seeing, there's already 2 million people that have crossed the border. Mm. And normally in these kinds of environments, you have a 1 to 2 ratio. So for every person that crosses a border, there's normally two people inside the country that have left their homes.
Wow.
And so we're talking about a country right now where all of the roads and the arteries are clogged with people who are fleeing and trying to get away from this. It's just, you know, an appalling situation. And that's why safe passages are so important, because these civilians are on the road and they're being attacked.
Yeah, and you don't want to add to the panic that people are probably feeling in the midst of it all. But do the locals think that things are going to get better, or are they preparing for the worst right now?
There's a thing about human beings that human beings always hope that things will get better. So there's a part of everybody that's like that. When I talked to Olga, who was a mom with a child less than 12 months old, she was on the Ukraine side in this hospital that I'm talking about, and I asked her what her plan was. She said, well, I'm, you know, hoping this will end soon, but until then, I'm just staying in this room. It's like a little room in an old building in the hospital. And when I say old, it was built in 1880. I'm going to just stay here until it gets better, and it's a tiny little room. I think on the Romanian side, Moldovan side, etc., no, it's going to get much worse before it gets better. You know, 2 million are coming out. The UN's expecting maybe 5 million. The conflict is intensifying. Things are going to get much worse before they get better.
And it's a hard reality to think that that is the outcome that is probably coming down the line for people. But for you, as you've been in these environments, talking to these people and doing obviously the great work that you and the team at World Vision do, has there been anything positive that you've witnessed or that gives you hope in the midst of this event?
I always find, Laura, hope in how human beings respond to things. You know, I think when I talk to people, the question I get asked the most is, how do you, after doing this for like 25 years, how do you not, you know, get despairing, right? And how do you not think the whole world is a dreadful place? But the truth is, it's exactly the opposite for me. That when I come to places like this, what I see are countless Romanians stepping up, donating, opening their houses and actually helping people as they're crossing over. What I see are mothers with a child in one arm pushing a stroller with another arm through snow. What I constantly see is an avalanche of human goodness, human strength, human perseverance, human resilience in the face of evil, make no mistake.
Yeah.
But it's sort of overwhelming that way. So, when I sat with the mayor in Siret, that's the Romanian, you know, border town, and he's overwhelmed. And I said, what do you need? He said, Daniel, I don't even know what I'm doing. I don't even know what I need. What are you talking about? This is the first time I've ever done this. You tell me what I need. But then I asked, what could we do? What's your first priority? And he said, well, the first priority for you should be to get inside Ukraine and help this hospital. He was the one that gave me the list of stuff that they needed. So you see, you always just see the best version of people in these things. And so I always take hope that, you know, together we as human beings can always confront these things, rise up and do something about them.
And
we're seeing it in Australia. We're raising money.
Yeah, and what compels you to run toward what's happening there? Yes, it's part of your job as a CEO of World Vision, but I think there's got to be something more for you personally that when these sorts of things happen, you want to be there.
Well, I think I'm called. This is what I'm called to do, Laura. I read the Sermon on the Mount many years ago, and I realized that God's heart went out to the poor, the suffering, and the vulnerable, and I felt that I was meant to do the same thing. Yep. So that was 30 years ago. I've just been doing it ever since. So the same thing that compels me is the same thing that I'm guessing compels you every day. You feel like there's a calling on your life and you're trying to live it out and do the best you can.
And the unfortunate side of events like these, in all of those great things, is that you see people take advantage of vulnerabilities and of weaknesses in the moment, and particularly human trafficking can become a real issue. Are you aware of whether or not that has been a problem and what's being done to combat that in this particular conflict?
I'm not aware of any current significant cases of this. You know, human trafficking and trafficking of women and girls is always an issue, and it's always an issue in this part of the world, unfortunately. And the pathway from Ukraine to Romania is one that's a well-trodden path by these people. So what we're worried about is that there are these existing networks in place that could try to take advantage of this. It's the job of organizations like World Vision to, you know, fight back and ensure they don't. So that comes down to how you register people at the border. You make sure that you can identify the vulnerable, that you can ensure the safeguarding stuff set up for kids. So those are all the kinds of things that we work on to stop that kind of thing happening.
So the big question then is for all of us here in Australia is, what can we do to help? Are there any clear actions we can take to support you guys and obviously those in Ukraine right now?
Yeah, I can tell you two things. If you're a praying person, I think you need it'd be great if you could pray for three things: the families, the kids, and for peace. So families are being separated. Let's pray that they get reunited. Like, think of Christina and her husband and her child. Yep. Pray for kids, right? They're experiencing things that will stay with them the rest of their lives. They shouldn't be caught up in all of this. So let's hope that they can get back to some level of normality. And thirdly, we just want peace, to pray for peace inside Ukraine. Second thing I would encourage you is, you are not helpless in the face of this. Yeah. World Vision is your charity. We are actually over here. We're responding every single day. We're stepping up because we know you will step up. So we believe in you. We have an appeal that we've launched. Please, I encourage you, donate. We're using the money right now in the belief that people will step up, and we know you will. Yeah. It's just whatever you do, whatever you can. But don't feel helpless. Don't allow that sort of in your life. Instead, realize there are things we can do. And in fact, we are already doing things.
Thank you, Daniel, for being there, doing the work that you are doing, and allowing us as well to actually have an avenue for making a difference in the ways that we can. Daniel, I really appreciate your time today.
Thank you, Laura. Thank you.
Thanks for listening. Start your day with Life Words. Subscribe to Hope 1032's free daily email devotional at hope1032.com.au.